Almighty God, open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, open our hearts to understand the truth of your word. Amen. Please sit. Have you ever wondered why Jesus spoke in parables? Why didn't he just speak plainly instead of in riddles? Why did he reveal and conceal at the same time? Well, in today's gospel reading from chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel, the disciples ask Jesus this very question. Before considering why Jesus spoke in parables, let's look at what a parable is. A common definition is that it's an earthly story with a spiritual heavenly meaning. Jesus often told parables to illustrate divine truths. The everyday stories and the characters are easily remembered. They hold people's attention and enable people to see themselves in the stories. While they deal with the common and the well-known, parables make people stop and think, make them reflect on their meaning. Chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel is a collection of some of the parables told by Jesus. And today we heard read the parable of the sower, sometimes known as the parable of the soils. Today's passage opens with many people following Jesus. Most of them are there because they want to see what kind of miracles Jesus will do. They are only attracted by the signs and wonders he performs. They are not really interested in his teaching. Matthew tells us that on this particular occasion, the crowds are so large that Jesus was forced to get into a boat so that he could speak to the crowd on the shore. He tells the crowd this parable. A sower scatters seed, and the seeds fall on four types of ground, resulting in four different outcomes. The seeds which fall on the path become nothing more than food for the birds. The rocky places where some of the seeds fall provide sufficient soil for the seeds to germinate and begin to grow, but because there is not enough soil, the plants do not take root and soon wither in the sun. The seeds that fall among the thorns are able to grow, but the competing thorns choke the life out of the plants. Only the seeds that fall on the good, rich soil are able to grow and produce fruit. So why did Jesus tell this particular parable? In the chapters leading up to chapter 13, Matthew has been telling us of the increasing hostility that Jesus has been facing from the Pharisees, especially since he healed the man with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath. In the previous chapter, chapter 12, Matthew tells us the Pharisees plotted how they might kill Jesus. Jesus has to be careful, because even though he knows that he's heading towards Jerusalem to his death, his time had not yet come. He still had things to do. So to delay, Jesus taught using parables. They enabled him to hold and to intrigue his hearers at a time of great opposition to him. As he continued with his ministry, they enabled him to fascinate without directly alienating. One of the most important things that Jesus had to do was teaching his disciples. He knew he was going to his death, so he had to prepare the disciples to continue his ministry. He had to teach them so that they would be ready for the time in the future that he would no longer be with them. From this point on in Jesus' ministry, whenever he spoke in parables, he explained them only to his disciples. You will note that in our passage today, Jesus drew his disciples away from the crowd before he gave them the explanation contained in our passage. You have it all written there in your liturgical sheet. The path The hard ground beside the road represents the Pharisees and those who oppose Jesus. They are hardened by sin. They hear but do not understand the word of God, and Satan plucks the message away, keeping their hearts dull and preventing the word from growing. Those who continually rejected Jesus' message were left in their spiritual blindness to wonder as to his meaning. In this parable, Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah, who had challenged the people in his day and was also rejected. Jesus made a clear distinction between those on the one hand who had been given eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand, and those on the other hand who persisted in their unbelief, who were not willing to believe the claims of Jesus to be the Messiah, who were unable to acknowledge the truth that he was the Son of God. The disciples had been given the gift of spiritual discernment because they believed in Jesus and accepted that he was speaking the truth. They were given more and more truth. Parables were an instrument of revelation, but only to those who were able to hear and understand. The Pharisees were too blinded by hatred and prejudice to discern the truth in the parables. But to those with a genuine hunger for God, the parable is an effective vehicle for the conveyance of divine truths. Our Lord's parables are rich in imagery and are not easily forgotten. So the parable is a blessing to those with willing ears, but to those with ears that are slow to hear and those with hearts that are dull, the parable is an instrument of judgment. As Christian believers, we, like the disciples, have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth. Our eyes, our ears, and our hearts have been opened to the truth of the gospel. We believe in the saving work of our Lord's death on the cross and his assurance of eternal life. By speaking in parables, Jesus challenged his hearers to think. Let us now think about how this parable has relevance to us sitting in church this morning. The seed in the parable is God's word. The ground, the soil, is our hearts. Different outcomes will result from how our hearts respond to God and his word. The reception of God's word is determined by the condition of our hearts. What kind of condition are our hearts in? What kind of soil are we? Where do we stand in relation to God's word and his kingdom? Some of us may still be deciding whether to accept the truth of the gospel. Previously in our lives, God's word may have fallen on the path or by the roadside where there was no soil, preventing the seed from sprouting at all. But your presence with us here today indicates that there may be some hope. It demonstrates a willingness to hear God's word, a willingness to build a foundation of soil. Others of us have heard God's word and have received it with joy. But because we have no firm root, our rocky foundation is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises, we immediately fall away. Because our hearts are not fully changed, we may become filled with doubts, and our faith may be shaken under pressure. We may be reluctant to reveal that we are Christian in our workplaces, in our clubs, with our friends, with our neighbours. We are uncomfortable in engaging in conversations about abortion, euthanasia, same-sex relationships, and other subjects where Christians have biblical points of view. Others of us may have accepted God's word and been faithful, and now we have become unfruitful. Our hearts, instead of being filled with love for God and our neighbour, have become filled with selfish things, the riches and pleasures of worldly desires are competing thorns which choke God's word. They take our time and our attention away from God. Our focus is not on Him, but on the material things that we have accumulated and the wealth, power, and status that we have achieved. For some of us, by God's providential blessing, His word has fallen on good, rich soil. We do bear fruit. What fruit we produce will depend on what God has purposed for each one of us. As in the parable, it may be 30, 60, or 100-fold. So what is this fruit? It is the fruit of the gospel. It is the people who hear the gospel and come to believe the truth of God's word. It is the people who believe that God's kingdom has been inaugurated by the first coming of Jesus, by his birth, death, resurrection, and ascension, and who await his second coming. Some of us may have the opportunity to share the good news with only a few people, others with many more. It all depends on our individual situations. There are many gardeners among us, and gardeners know that to keep soil rich and fruitful, the soil must be regularly fertilized. What kind of things are our fertilizers? Let me give you some ideas. Continue to read and meditate on God's word. Continue to strengthen your relationship with Him by speaking to Him daily in prayer. Continue to meet regularly with fellow believers to listen to His word and to participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion. If you haven't already, join a fellowship group to study God's word and to be encouraged by one another. Worship God by singing songs to Him. Love and serve your community. Each one of us has been given by gifts by God. We must work out what they are and use them to glorify Him. We must be the good, rich soil so that we can bear much fruit in His name. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the seed of the gospel which you have sown in us. Help us to have firm foundations to endure derision, affliction, and persecution. Help us not to be choked by the thorns of material desire and worldly ambition. Help us to be fertile, good, rich soil, producing abundant fruit for your kingdom. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Amen.